In the name of Jesus, amen. There are a lot of people who wonder what the real difference is between the sheep and the goats. Before we get to them, though, you should know that the last day is coming. Our Father has delayed it for a time, only for the sake of love, in mercy. For the will of Almighty God is that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is mercifully delayed, but the last day is coming, drawing inexorably nearer, like the big one on the San Andreas Fault. Now, while the critics of Christianity count each new day as proof that our Lord is not coming, we who live by faith know that every day that passes only increases the tension and makes our Lord's coming even more imminent. Also know this: the difference between the goats and the sheep is a matter of the heart that only our Lord God can discern. In Jesus' parable, the goats are surprised, and so they protest their fate. They appeal to their works. Lord, when did we fail to do these things? So they're asking with some indignation, how can you say we've fallen short? We were good people. We were sincere. We tried really hard. We built children's hospitals. We started foundations. We paid our bills. We kept our kids clean, our homes neat. And certainly, many people both inside and outside of Christianity do good works. A person doesn't have to be a Christian to love his neighbor and to seek to do good to others or to improve his community. Our world is filled with those who do good works, as it has been throughout all of history. The problem is, on the last day, when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, because then it isn't your works he's going to look at. And that's a good thing. Because no matter how good your good works are, they're never good enough to save you. Your hearts are never perfectly pure. Even the most perfect things that you do are tainted by selfish desire, by ambition, by sin. And that's what separates the goats from the sheep. The way that the goats argue about their good works shows the state of their faith. Because their faith is not in Christ, but in themselves, in their own works. Instead of recognizing that in Christ is forgiveness for failure, and calling out to him in repentance, Lord, have mercy, they focus only on their own works. Lord, when did we not? So instead of recognizing their sinfulness and being open to receiving that which Christ earned for them, they seek to justify themselves, to earn their places before Almighty God. They call Jesus Lord, but they won't submit to him. They've hedged their bets. They've helped themselves. And so they seek to make their own way. They seek to find their own rest. They seek to secure their own future. So their question, Lord, when did we fail to do these things, is a request to be judged by their own works instead of in Christ. And so that request is granted. And because of it, they are damned for all of eternity. There's only one name under heaven by which men are saved, and it's not yours. And so, in faith, you throw yourself on the ground before the only one who can save you. Recognizing your sorry state, you turn from your covetousness, you turn from your lust and your greed, you turn from striving to make your own happiness, you turn from striving to find your own peace, And you turn away even from your own good works. Now understand, your good works are wonderfully important in this world. You use them to love and to serve your neighbor. But the only work that you need to receive God's salvation, that work has already been done in Jesus. And recognizing this reality, then you are a sheep. Because the sheep in the parable didn't focus on their own works. Even though they're commended for them, they still recognize their sorry, sinful state. Lord, when did we do these things, they ask. The question comes because they know that their salvation has nothing to do with any of the good works they might have done. But it has everything to do with Jesus, the one who judges them, the one who loves them, the one who pours out his mercy upon them. So how do you prepare yourselves for the final coming of Christ Jesus to judge both the living and the dead? In repentant faith, you realize that in Christ, you already are prepared. You are prepared because through God's word and law constantly working on you, you're emptied of yourselves. You forget yourselves. You repent. You throw yourselves upon the man of sorrows. You throw yourselves on the strength of the weak. You throw yourself upon the hope of the desolate, on the light of the world. And on that great and terrible day of the Lord, on the last day, you will stand before him as his faithful sheep. Not because you performed more good works than the unbelievers, but because you stand before Christ filled with him and with his good works, works that he performed on that dark Friday afternoon when he hung on Golgotha to pay for the sins that he did not commit. There he died, and there he rose. And now he lives at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ruling the very universe that he spoke into being. Soon he will return and bring the good work that he has begun in you to its completion. And you sheep, just like the goats, will be surprised. And you're going to protest your fate. You will be credited with Christ's own perfect good works, with Christ's own perfect righteousness. And because you are repentant, because you recognize your own sinfulness, receiving the righteousness of Christ will feel like having your name written on a blank check that you didn't earn. Christ's work credited to you will not feel right to you. And you're going to argue about it. Lord, when did we do these things? We didn't live perfectly. We didn't serve our neighbor like we should have. We may have said and done the right thing, but we didn't really believe a word of it. We had tainted motives. We had selfish ambitions. We had evil desires. There's nothing good in us. And Christ, your Lord, will answer, yes, I know. But I did these things. I fed the hungry and gave drink to the thirsty. I welcomed the strangers and clothed the naked. I visited the sick and the imprisoned. I kept the law perfectly, and I did it for you. Because I am your substitute. My work counts as your works. I took your sin and crucified it, and I give you my righteousness and my innocence and my blessedness. In me, Christ says, your obedience and your faith and your life is perfect. My death and resurrection has paid the price for you, and it is enough. It is finished. So come, he will say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Your sins are forgiven. This future is absolutely free. There are no strings attached. By grace, Christ suffered and died that you might live. And for a time, in this world, you too must suffer. And maybe even die. But soon that scoffing and suffering will end. Death could not hold Christ. Death will not hold you. After the cross of Christ comes glory, because your life is patterned on Christ's. Death will release you to life, for he is coming back to claim his own as he brings his reward for you with him. He who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, has prepared a place for you. And he stands ready to give it to you. Amen.